team, because some participants came back to us saying that they would like to have further discussions. And this workshop is will be looking at phenotyping and agronomy data, both of them. And the idea is to have a description of the user experience by producing the data and using tools for sharing or for publishing the data, what is missing, what challenge they encounter, and each project that will be represented will have an opportunity to present the tools they have, how to use them. So there will be an exchange with the scientists, bioinformaticians, and then at the end of the week we should have some hands-on session to test the tools with data or to discuss how to align the vocabularies. And this is the idea, and decide about probably some next step for keeping this community engaged in the exercise. So the workshop will have almost three tracks. One will be phenotyping, phenomics. Second will be agronomy, and last will be threat harmonization through vocabularies ontology. So this will be the organization along the workshop. We have around 73 participants. And it's a very large range of expertise coming from readers, agronomists, bioinformaticians, ontology developers, etc. So it's a large.
Yeah.
That's great. And are you going to this, Laurel?
Yes. Pankaj and Austin all and I are all going.
Great.
Yeah. So this is going to be very helpful. And Elizabeth, could you just mention real quickly about the agronomy ontology that Media is working on? Meta.
If you remember, in 2014, Meda was already in the workshop presenting the agronomy ontology, the first steps, and she had a brainstorming session at that workshop. But since we have developed together a project proposal that has been granted by the CGIA Open Data Strategy, and the idea is because MEDA has been a leading project in Nepal about multi-trial agronomic evaluation. And she noticed that people are capturing data in so many various ways that it's quite difficult to perform meta-analysis across the agronomic trials. So the idea for this came from when she saw the breeding platform and the breeding management system and the comportology working together. So she suggested to have a similar model applied to agronomy ontology. So what we call agronomy ontology for now, we start modest, is to look at the way agronomists would conduct their agronomical trial and which variables they would preferably measure. So it's for the moment to process field books, it's the idea, and probably have a database model from that, but not yet. We are still working on the field book itself.
So is that variables in terms of traits, but also kind of like inputs, you know, farming practice and so on?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Is there a kind of like a version of this ontology available on GitHub or?
Not yet, because Meda is the lead PI of that project, and she, for the moment, she wanted to progress with a very limited group of person to make sure at least we have good variables to show, because what she's scared about is that agronomists are not really familiar yet with this concept of ontology, field books, and she doesn't want to scare them. So she's taking a very cautious step to
develop it.
For now, what they did was to take the trend dictionary as a model, and they are developing it, but of course the trend dictionary, it's very much tailored for crop threats, so they need to bring some modification. So it's not online, because we would need to modify our website to accommodate. Mm-hmm. And Marie-Angélique can talk about it, because the idea is while Céline is compiling the variables in a trend dictionary-like format, they also are discussing how to put that in a protégé format as a real ontology. So it's work in progress at the moment. Marie, you want to mention something about? Marie, you lost you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're quiet.
I don't know why. I mean, they just fixed my laptop, but apparently, yeah, it's not working very well. So yeah, so we are just working now on the model. So what Meda and Celine are working on is just to identify what are the key classes that I will need in the feedbook, and then the way that those classes are linked together. And so we had a meeting yesterday, we had a meeting today, but yeah, we don't have something to share yet. But okay. I believe that by the workshop, we will have something to show.
And is when you say the trait dictionary is a model, is the idea that for different crops, there's different dictionaries, with maybe as doing a kind of harmonization process with like the plant environmental conditions ontology at some point in the future? Is that the idea? Yeah.
Go ahead.
What are the modules that are needed in the agronomy ontology, and to reuse, I don't know, the ontologies that are already created for those parts, and to only focus on the agronomic practices?
Yeah, because the difficulty of the agronomy itself, the knowledge domain, is that an agronomist would launch a multi-site evaluation, agronomic evaluation, by combining multivariate studies. So it's very complex. It's more complex than just the breeders' traits, because breeders, they select their crop, and then they select the trait they want to measure to reach their breeding objective. While an agronomist can have an entry point on the quality of soil, on a mixed cropping system, so he may need to have several crops and traits to watch. He may just want to see if the farmer is putting nutrients, what will be the impact on the yield. So it's quite complicated, that's why we are progressing very slowly, to make sure at least we have a good start, and that agronomists can validate by comparing with their own field books. So the first step is to ask them where we are now with the list of variables we have now. What is your feeling about it? Does it reflect really what you measure? Does it contain everything you are potentially looking at, etc.? So the agronomy ontology is of course put in the context of having an evaluation trial in a given location. So you have external events, climatic, the weather, the soil quality, things that the agronomist won't act on, and you have the list of course technical agricultural practices that the agronomist would like to test.
Mm-hmm. So I'd recommend inviting, I don't know if it's an open meeting, but Pierre Luigi Buttigieg, he is my co-developer on the environment ontology. And by environment ontology, I don't mean the plant and experimental conditions one, which we actually work on at some point. This is the more general kind of environment ontology, and it includes things like kind of climates and soil type, and we're actually starting to include environmental processes in there, and these include kind of, you know, anthropocentric processes like farming and things like that as well. So I think it would be good to have Meda connect with him sooner rather than later, and he's in Germany, so it's not too far for him to
come. Could you send us the name or in the chat or by mail? Because
yeah, I will. Mm-hmm.
The fact is the workshop is already be a little bit beyond the upper limit we gave for the number of participants. So I don't know if we can, but at least if we have his name, we know his competence is there, and we can perhaps, I don't know, discuss with Meda if we can have a Skype call at a certain point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I met him.
Yeah.
Pierre Luigi, I met him in the UNEP meeting
Of course, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was this meeting in I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I spelled it wrong. It's actually ENVO.
No, it auto-corrected. I think I saw it.
Oh. Wasn't my fault. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's really good. And so yesterday, Elizabeth, I don't know if you saw, but Austin set up a a proposal?
The session. You submitted the session. I saw that for annotation.
For annotations. So I don't know if there's room to work that into the schedule. And we had all, I wasn't sure, but I thought we had also talked about maybe doing a session for Plantium. Do we want to do that? I could do that today. I could put in a proposal today for a presentation if that's something that you think would be useful.
There will be, what we mentioned is the first day, it will be a plenary session. So even if we have external people coming, the theater is 100 seats, so it's okay. It will be web streaming, most probably web streamed. So what we have is in the afternoon, we have presentations of the main tools from the project. So I put normally a time slot for presenting Plantium, but you may want to, I don't know, to present the whole system or perhaps present the, have a focus on specific features like the ontologies, the GAF2, and have a general introduction on Monday.
Okay, so you've already got a slot for that on Monday, so I don't need to submit a session.
You can if you like, because at least I know the objective, what you intend to present, and we can, you can if you like.
Okay.
I think what you are thinking about is doing how the mapping work is progressing and the annotation thing. So I think we can fold it everything in what Austin is trying to work on, the proposal that you have. Don't have too many Plantium things. Don't overwhelm the meeting with Plantium, but have a session saying how we are integrating crop ontologies in the common reference core and how those are being used for annotation.
Yeah, sure. And so then the next thing I was going to ask you, Elizabeth, was, so in terms of when we should come, I was actually kind of thinking of coming a bit early so that I could work with Marie and Leo, maybe, if he's around. And
you mean,
I don't know if we want to talk about that right now, and I don't know if that's really important to discuss right now, but we've been finalizing things. And I talked with Julie yesterday, and she said that she had sent in her passport.
Yeah, in fact, we couldn't find the mail, but anyway, we had all the information from the previous workshop we had. So Marcia already prepared the letter, and it was sent to her.
Oh, okay, good. I also have a copy of her passport, too.
Okay.
So if you need it, I have it, too.
You could resend it to Marcia anyway. Okay. But she already sent the letter to her.
So you guys have to arrange her visa from that end?
No, the thing is, as we are local organizers, we need to issue the invitation letter because it has to be signed with the institution who is located in France. But she is doing the visa process. She has to put that, a request to the embassy or consulate and put that. The letter is just a proof that she's needed in the work. And she will have all the means to leave during that week. And she has an hotel where to stay.
Okay. And so we can't proceed with booking her ticket or anything until she gets her visa.
Yes.
Right.
I suppose so. So it depends of the, each country is different because some ask to have their tickets booked before they give the visa. But in her case, if she didn't ask, she just asked for the invitation letter. So I suppose it's enough.
Okay, good. Alrighty, so.
Does this tie into any of the workshops at ICBO? I know that there's a food ontology workshop, which is maybe different, but it definitely kind of like overlaps. It'd be good if maybe there was some kind of like, we could hear some follow-up from the meeting when we're at ICBO. I know obviously everyone in Corvallis will be at ICBO, but Elizabeth and Marie, will you be going?
At least Marie, for sure. For me, I think I should, but I'm not yet. I need to discuss with my management about it, but
okay.
It's on my agenda.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Chris, what we are also trying to do is run a similar workshop like we did in November.
Mm-hmm.
On the sidelines, maybe after Igbo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then we can bring in the same folks who worked previously, as well as some new folks. The target this time on maize and wheat, and we can work towards that goal as well. And I will bring the rice folks from Erie as well. So rice, wheat, and maize, if we covered, I think we have the top three crops covered, and that's and the proof of concepts developed for them.
Okay.
So they can attend the ICPO as well as continue. They learn about how the ontologies and things are being used, and then see how those gets to be applied in their own projects.
Yeah, I think you will advertise the ICPO meeting in our workshop, no?
Yes.
Do you have any fact sheets or something that you already have in the workshop?
I have a brochure that will go in.
Okay, good.
Oh, this is something new. I didn't even know that.
What's that? Oh, this picture?
Picture.
Yeah, I don't know. Didn't you put it there?
No, I didn't. Somebody else is working on it.
Okay. And Barry, you're going to be at ICPO, right? Oh, you're muted.
He's coming.
Yeah, he's coming. Good. Okay. And we might even see Dennis there. All right.
It's not might, he's confirmed.
It was a joke. Okay, well, I think anything else about Montpellier workshop that we need to talk about right now? Otherwise, we'll move on.
It's just that I apologize for not being able to hold the organization committee discussion in after 5 for you to be in. Because most of the people they prefer to have the meeting in the morning. Oh. But tomorrow we are supposed to discuss, but there won't be everybody, but as a group, the agenda to confirm at least the sequence of the sessions, if it fits everybody, and some of the logistics and list of participants. But what I ask is for Marie to be your ear and eyes, and she can liaise with you later in the day, so she can explain to you what has been decided during the committee meeting.
Fine. Yeah. Okay.
So, question from Chris. Chris, do you want to go to this meeting?
It's could be a bit tricky. I'm very interested in it.
But, if you're interested, then I will not, because then I can take an excuse.
I'm interested, but the timing is a bit tricky.
Let me know if it works out for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So Barry, we wanted to have some kind of a ontology 101 over there, but I believe somebody else is doing it, right, Elizabeth?
We don't have it on the program as such. It's more a very practical approach of the tools that are available, and make sure that at least everyone in this workshop really understand the role of each ontologies, how it is developed by ontology specialists, and how it can help their data annotation. So there won't be really an ontology training per se. It's not on the agenda.
Maybe in any of the session where the ontologies are being discussed, we should do a kind of a 10-minute or 15-minute kind of a precursor on what the ontologies are. And if that's possible, I would request Barry or Chris to create a very simple presentation or a kind of a video.
Yeah.
I think George is going to give this introduction.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, it's hard to hear you.
I think George is going.
George is going to be there.
Yeah. George will be there. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, but he will be giving this kind of introduction to ontologies.
He will give a keynote on ontologies, and I ask him if he could make some, present what our ontology useful for. Also, using reasoners and have an idea, open the mind of people who are there on how it could help, for example, make some. Phenotype prediction, for example. If he can do that, he said he would be happy to do the keynote at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. Yeah. So is there a draft agenda? Yeah.
It's not yet online. There is a draft. The first draft is in the Google Drive at the root. But this afternoon, I already worked on a second version according to all the sessions I received.
Right. And then you guys are having a meeting tomorrow about it.
Exactly. So I will put it in the Google Drive before that meeting.
So it should be kind of finalized by the end of the week, more or less?
It should, because it's very important for the logistics, of course.
Great. Great. Okay, good. Well, let's move on then. I think that's all good. And
thank you for...
Congratulations on your house sale.
Thank you. I need to leave.
Yeah, I understand that. So.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so let's go back and talk about the progress on developing the Rice annotation files from Erie. So Austin and Marie-Angelique have been, and Leo, I guess, too, have been working on this in conjunction with the folks down in Erie since their visit there. So you guys want to give us a little update on where we're at on those?
Yeah, I don't have anything new this week. Jeff, I'm working with Jeff, and he's working with... the database manager to decode the headers on the file that they gave us with the germplasm database headers. So those will be, once those are decoded, he said he's almost done with them. So then once he's done with that, I'll run them through the script and we'll see how many annotations we get out of that set. It's going to be quite a few. And as of now, I'm planning on splitting them by trait. To make it easier to sift through, but if anyone has any other suggestions on how to do that.
So give us idea of the scale that we're looking at. So Chris, it's about 150,000, 140,000 accessions.
Mm-hmm.
A set number of, I don't know, 30, 40, or 50 traits. Every accession is recorded for or scored for all those traits.
Well,
What's the source here again?
Erie's germplasm resource.
Erie's gene bank. So it's not necessarily that all 150,000 are scored for all 50 traits. So there are certain sets that are scored for all 50, and then certain sets that just simply have passport data and then like a couple basic traits in them. So the script will determine whether or not there's a score, and if there's a score for that certain accession, it will get a line in that trait accession or that trait file, annotation file.
Is it using crop CO terms or TO terms or free text, or how do you?
We've talked about which one to go to, but basically the headers, I take they have headers in the file, and I take the headers and I translate them into like a hash table that will have the TO term and the CO term in it. And as of now, I'm planning to annotate to the TO term just for simplicity's sake, but it should be easy enough to switch back and forth between whichever we want.
I see. So you did a kind of local set of constrained strings and you provide the mapping for that on the file.
I enter a file in that has the mapping.
Yeah. Was that a lot of, have you done that? Is that a lot of work? Do you need help with any kind of entity recognition from Marie or me? Or
no, I'm just basically, the headers on their files are somewhat cryptic. So I've sort of teased out the meaning of a couple to do the testing, and it seems to work. So it's just basically waiting for them to tell me what some of the headers mean. Because a lot of the headers are junk, like they're not useful traits. There'll be information about other things that are just not there, that are not a trait. You can't see me, but I'm air quoting a trait. but there's like 200 columns, and I think of those 200 columns, like Pankaj said, there are like 40 or 50 that are actually useful to us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm really just waiting for them to give me the translated version, and then I basically just hit go and it will do its thing.
Yeah. And so what are we doing about this issue about the spaces in the IDs?
Oh, yes. I need to bug them on that. That was the SNP. One of the other problems that I failed to mention was we currently won't have a way to link them back to a specific web page, because they're in the Grimms, they're in the Erie Grimms database, but the URLs for that resource are kind of a nightmare because you need to put in like 15 different arguments to get the specific accession number to show up in their Grimms system. So we were thinking of linking them to Genesis, but of course Genesis doesn't use the accession number in the URL either. They use like an internal unique identifier.
But as long as you have that translated, right? That
right, but I don't have anything that would translate that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Add a link to this, but maybe. Anyway, go ahead.
Question?
Yeah.
Yeah, for Genesis, I mean, you can use the accession number in the URL if you know the institute code from which the database is coming.
The what code?
The institute code.
Oh, the institute code.
Yeah, because you need those two information to go directly to the right Genesis page.
So can you send me an example of the URL that would include a...
Yeah, I think I already did that, but yeah, I can do that again.
Yeah, maybe I missed it. That'd be great.
Because we do have some data right now, like the lentil data is linking to Genesis, right?
It might just be linking to the search page.
The cassava, yeah.
Oh, is cassava? Yeah. Let me go to our plantome here.
Because for lentil, it's just breeding data or breeders' data, so they don't have the variety or the germplasm accession yet. They are still working on the, you know, the breeding programs.
So if we look at some of the cassava data here, at the cassava trait data. Oh, that one has no annotations. Do you know off the top of your head?
Root size or something like that.
Yeah, let me search. Let me take the annotations. Anyway, this probably isn't fruitful. But so there's a few issues you guys are still working out. And we have a couple files on the dev browser, which actually is probably more useful to look at because they... Okay, so these ones are your rice ones, right?
Yeah, those are the...
This is the issue.
That's a test. That's the test set from this 150,000 using OnColor was one of the traits that I could decipher. So one of the curious things they have is they score it not only for the on color, one of the options you can see on there that some of them have the color straw. But if there was no on, they don't leave it blank. They put the word onless in there. So currently it just, if it's onless, you'll get a phenotype score of onless.
And what does straw mean?
That's a color of the on. It's like a light yellow.
Yeah. Yeah, the onless thing is kind of weird.
So they actually have a code. They have two columns right next to each other. One is like their internal code, and it's like 001 is onless, and 010 is straw, and 011. It looks binary, but I'm not sure if it is or not. But I use the description column, which is the column right after that, which gives the actual English description of the color, which is what you're seeing.
This thing working?
Yeah. And you'll see there is actually that one right there, Phi. Has four entrances, so the name, the germplasm has a name, Phi, but if you look at each of those, they'll be individual accession numbers, so I think that's just seed packet numbers or something like that.
That's why I was saying is that in their ID, so what you have under object, you need to append that object value with that ID along with it, so that determines that they're all called Phi, but they are different accessions.
You mean the fay with the accession number added to it?
Like over here.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I've done that in the script, but I haven't put the new annotation file in the VC.
So for Chris and Barry, I think what you're looking at here is, like, say there are four different seed packets of fay, and four of them all coming from four different labs. Even though they are called the same, they do not store the same seed with the same ID. It's every seed packet gets a different ID depending on the source.
So we don't want to go to that level of granularity, though. Couldn't that be? Is that?
I think that we want to go to that granularity. So that's why it's LG11661. I think we should append that.
I have done that in the script. It just doesn't reflect here because I haven't put a new file in.
So right now it's showing up in the synonym field. Yeah. Is this the number we're talking about?
No, it'd be the one below that one, the 10. This. That's the accession number, that 103.
And what is this synonym?
That was just another name that they had in the file. I put it in the synonyms. It can not go there.
So this link is currently not working.
No, there isn't one because there's no stanza for that for Grimms because we don't know where it's going yet.
Right. And are
would it help to give them unique labels? Like, because it can get very confusing if you have different object IDs and each has the same label.
Yeah, I think that's what Pramash was just saying.
Yeah.
Once the updated version is up, you'll see it will say fay or phi, and then a hyphen. I think.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Good.
The accession number. Yep. The accession number is unique for all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because right now it kind of looks like it's four of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what aren't you using directly the accession number in the object column?
I'm not, or did you ask why I'm not?
Yeah, why you're not?
Oh, that was just the way we did it in the past. It's because you want the name to show up, or because I think the object is what shows up at the very top of the screen. Oop, that's on color.
Yep, sure.
You click on it.
I actually have it open.
If you have the top, we can change that, but otherwise it would just show an accession number. So it's all very fixable or all very editable. But that's the way I had done it for some previous germplasm. But if we want to use just the accession number as the object name or as the object and then have the name be fay, I'm fine with that too.
Do people have feelings on which way is better?
I could put a test annotation file up there that uses all three methods and see which people like best.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. That's easy to do. I'm concerned that the taxon is not being filled in here. I'm not sure what's going on there or why. You have
this taxon is not in the database. 1080340.
Oh yeah, so I had it. It looks at the subspecies in the file. And if it's one of the three major subspecies that you see on NCBI, either Japonica or hybrid or indica, it'll go in there. It can figure that out. But if it's not one of the three major ones, it just gives it the basic rice ID. So I think that one is the hybrid Japonica indica hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but what I'm saying is that Amico is not.
Yeah, because that one isn't. That's because that taxon ID is not in our SLIM.
Huh. Hey, here's Justin. So since Justin is here and Chris is here, maybe you guys could just tell us a little bit about the new updates to Amigo that are coming up.
I told you, I haven't looked at the code that closely. I know Seth said he fixed a bunch of tickets. It looks like the other relationship types should show up through a neighborhood button.
It's all loaded into Golar now, so everything is there. I don't know if he's actually done the final kind of like. Oh yeah. Sorry, I misspoke. Yeah, it's not on the term info part, which I wanted originally. But yeah, it should be there on the neighborhood button once you update to the latest code.
Right, but the changes were pretty major, so I haven't done it yet because I was expecting it to take me about half a day or so to do all the merges because I have to move all the template stuff to our template as well.
Okay, so you're kind of customizing using a fork at the moment?
Yeah, so like like most of it should be the same. The only thing that I really have different is the template. I have our plant template HTML or Plantium instead of BS3. So I have to kind of not completely manually, but I have to like look at all the changes that you guys made to the template folder and apply them to ours. But
so do we have a timeline on when this is going to happen? And
well, like I said, I think I can do it. Well, I think from their end, they're done.
They're done.
I'm driving back tomorrow, and I was going to take Thursday, Friday off, so I was going to do it Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. So maybe next week.
Yep.
And will our site have to go down?
Yes.
Okay. So just kind of coordinate with us. And
well, actually, I guess it won't totally go down. It just might. Parts of it just might not work.
Okay.
Like if
I need to leave now, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
We'll be in touch.
Okay, thanks, Barry.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have an Amigo update coming on. That's great. And hopefully that'll fix some of the issues we've been having. Are you guys testing it yet? Is there a place we could preview it, Chris?
Yeah, you can look at the Go one. You can look at the Go one isn't live yet, but you can go to this URL. And let me show you some of the other things in it that you may find useful. There's now.
You can use the sharing.
Oh, shall I share it? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I can stop sharing. There we go.
How's this working? Is there a share button? Share screen, yeah.
Should be. Not seeing anything yet.
It's spinning. Okay. Don't stop.
We're admiring your paint, your artwork behind you, though.
Oh, right, yeah. It's not actually, it's more like a kind of wall hanging. It's paper, yeah.
Very colorful.
Counts as art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we can see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so so a couple of new things that we've got that should easily roll into yours without any customization. So one is we now have an ontology browser with accounts here. So this is, I think, the number of, this is temporarily broken while, but you can filter by species here as well.
Uh-huh.
So the accounts for each of these. Let me see if there's, what would be a good one to show? Spindle assembly. I haven't actually tested this yet, so myself.
Nothing like a live test.
So you know, now where it says ancestors before, you see neighborhood. And here we have other relations. And this looks really ugly. Okay, we're going to have to do something about this, but this should be easy to fix. So, but this is one of these relationship types that we never do the transitive closure off because you end up everywhere. So right. It's spindle assembly to spindle and so on. So you can basically, you know, traverse everything this way. It'd be nice to stay pinned on neighborhood. Anyway, so we have that as well. That's the main thing that you wanted. And this should also work right out of the box for you as well. We have much nicer statistics done.
Great.
Otley. So we've got you can see the experimental versus non-experimental via species. this is purely data driven, so it should work just for you, and it'll be Arabidopsis, rice, or whatever, and have the most annotations drawn first.
Mm-hmm.
I think actually I should check that. Maybe, well, we'll see. I think this would be quite nice to have for you. So this is using a library called Plotly that's really nice. You can do all kinds of things like zoom in on a particular area. You can kind of, you know, create links to it. You can zoom out and so on. So, and we have a bunch of other ones as well. So you can see, you know who's done the most annotations.
Very nice.
See other things broken down by evidence type. This one, I don't know if we'd net. Yeah, that one should work. Yep.
Oh yeah, with your computational AI.
Some of these might be more ghost. Oh no, we don't have that ghost specific one. Oh yeah, this one's maybe a bit ghost specific because it's got triples of process function component. I'm guessing that probably won't work. Well, that would work for you for just the Go part, but yeah. Obviously not the other ontologies.
It might be broken for the other ontologies, right?
Yeah. It may be generalizable. I don't know. And you can actually just turn mouse over to see the actual numbers.
That's very cool.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Mm-hmm. It's great to see some improvements being made there. That's wonderful. Look forward to getting it. So maybe we'll get it on dev first and test it. Obviously.
The solar schema is, I'm assuming, changed.
It's extended. Yeah, there's more fields. More fields were taken away, but
just we'll grab it. Top of the live side. It would take a full reload.
Okay. Good.
So by the means, what we're saying is the neighborhood that we see is that's the textual version of the relationships that we will see, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. We still don't have the graphical view.
Well, depends. We should sketch out what your requirements there are, because what you don't want to do is see the full closure over all these relationship types, because you'll end up with a massive hairball. But what you might want to see is the immediate neighbors over any relationship type.
Yeah.
And then the closure over all over the subset of relationship types.
All right.
Yeah. The main thing is the framework is in place now, so
yeah.
It's just kind of like UI stuff on top of that.
And Chris, with having all the relations displayed, is that going to affect how the annotations flow?
No. So this is it's still exactly the same that you configure the relationship types for the annotations to flow over, and that's still going to be like part of ISA for you. But then the neighborhood is really any relationship type.
So
the reason we couldn't roll out the things before, because there was no conception before of different of a relationship type that you propagated over versus one that you navigated over. It was all or nothing.
Right.
So
right.
Those two things separated.
That's great. That's really great. And so we can customize which of the relations we're using. We want the annotations to flow over.
Yeah.
Across or up or down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
That is nice.
Like our ones like adjacent to, we don't want them to, but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
As participant and so on. And so maybe we can look at those a little bit more when we get there. Okay. Good. So let's go back to, I think we have a few more minutes here. Let's go back to the agenda. Maybe I'll take the, you're done screen sharing. I will get back to it. I don't know where my...
Just a quick update. Justin and I are looking at comparing our homology prediction data with the Panther data, gene sample data, and it looks like it was close to around 7 to 8% didn't go to all the same family. What happened was ours were split into three or four or more than one families compared to Panther. Panther had it together. Kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So they were only those about 7 to 8%. Majority were exactly the same that showed up.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk to him after this call and see how we can hoard some of the data and nomenclature so that we can move forward from that point. Yep.
Yeah, that's Justin. That's cool. I had one more question for you, Chris. Are you coming up to the 416 meeting?
No, I can't make it, unfortunately.
Because we were going to say, you know, we'd love it if you could stop in for a day.
Yeah, no, I can't make it. I'm not going to Portland at all. I'm staying there.
Okay, too bad.
Maybe we'll all come up to Portland and see you.
No, he's not going to Portland.
Oh, he's not going at all.
Yeah.
We'll have to go down to Berkeley and see him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so before we wrap up here, Marie Angelique, do you want to show us anything about your presentation for the biocuration meeting? I think that's next week, right?
Yes, but I haven't finished yet.
Okay.
I had some issue with my laptop last week and I was not able to work.
You were getting it repaired.
Okay, that's fine. So in the meantime, I think for ICPO, the deadline is coming up April 25th.
Yep.
Yes.
And Chris, I was suggesting at least 3 or 4 submissions from Plantium work. Maybe the one with the ontology mapping and how those crop ontologies being integrated in the TO. That could be one.
Propose Plantium. Okay, mappings, Marie. Yep. Mm-hmm.
One is on general Plantium, and then third one could be Austin can write about how he's doing the annotations and bring those in.
Yeah. And so are we looking at full papers for those? Or short?
What's your idea? I think short paper, 4 pages would be okay.
Medium.
Okay. Yeah, that should be fine.
At least for the annotations.
For mine, yeah. That should be plenty.
I mean, full papers are still only 6 pages, you know, it's 6 pages.
So will these be published in a,
They will be published in a proceedings. I'm trying to get it into, there is an open invitation from Database Journal, as well as an option to publish it in a book. So those things are possible.
Okay.
But they go in a proceedings that get an ISBN number.
Okay.
But with that block, I mean, I'm wondering for, let's just say Marie wanted to then publish her mappings method in bioinformatics or something. Would that block that, or would that be treated as?
I don't think so. Proceedings is a work in progress versus paper is a different thing.
Okay.
I don't think it should block.
Yeah.
As long as you don't use this, I think that you might have to change some of the phrases and things. Don't use the exact words. Right.
Yeah. You can't say it was just proceeding. It was just preliminary work before, and then publish it.
And for that purpose, you don't have to disclose everything.
Yeah.
Stay generic how you've been trying to do and things like
that.
Yeah. So given the nature of the conference, it might be, what are our chances of being able to make some progress on the environmental conditions between now and then and reporting on that maybe in the general Plantium session?
Sure.
Possible. it's sort of on the list.
Everything is possible.
Yeah. Some work has been done on it, but it's almost, you know, we need to kind of sit down and focus on it maybe for a couple of days and a little hackathon maybe. Yeah, you want to come up and work with us on it, or?
I would, but let me just try to think when the best time.
So we can keep talking about that, Chris.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, do you want to talk about the OBA thing? I've had this on the agenda for a few weeks. I don't know if people have to leave or not, but.
Yeah, I kind of have to leave about now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we're getting down to the end of the hour. We can leave it till the next time. We're going to have the next meeting on the 26th of April.
Okay.
Not on the 19th, but we have a little bit of a break. And the other update I have is Austin and I have been working on fixing equivalence axioms in the TO and addressing all the open trackers that are out there. And so we have lots of work going on there. And we have some students joining this term, so maybe they can help a little bit and get some of these things cleaned up and done. So all these things take time and
lots of work. And you can always ping me between now and then. I know you had some questions, Austin, about the templates, and I don't know how much progress you made with the minimal documentation that was there already, but
yeah, I just sent a spreadsheet using some of the examples we have for different diseases to Marie to see if she could get that, what we have now, to work. And if not, then I can reorganize the templates. We have a undergrad that we're going to put to work entering some of the diseases into a spreadsheet for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's on the disease ontology front.
Yeah. So,
so we got lots of,
yeah, just need to make sure that she has something to do. And then in the background, we can work on getting what spreadsheet she's entering data into a form that's acceptable for translation to a ontology file.
Yeah, and I'm starting to look at your file, and really you need to have templates or patterns to define the classes. Otherwise, you need to say for each disease which class, what is parent. And I think this can be easily inferred using a reasoner.
Right.
Right. And I think it's actually fairly straightforward for the groups.
Yeah, the diseases are going to all basically be a single pattern. It'll be like whatever the name of the crop is, or like maize, and then whatever the name of the disease is, or whatever you call it, like the leaf spot, and then fungal disease at the end, if it's a fungal disease, or viral disease, if it's a viral disease.
Yeah, so I started a schema, so I can that in a different form. So
maybe we can talk tomorrow on Thursday about
the YAML format for that.
No, they just gave me an Excel file, and they wanted to build the hierarchy from the file
or the stanzas anyway.
So we have this kind of like YAML format for defining design patterns that would be in the OBA thing that we talk about, and that's what Austin was asking about. So it'd be good if they could all, maybe a misunderstanding, but...
No. I think we need the two. I mean, we need something that will just read the Excel file and build, some part of the ontology, and then we need to have the template, so we can use a YAML format for that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we can follow up that on email.
Yeah.
For sure, and we can talk more about it as we get going on it.
Yep.
Yeah, and so the last thing that I wanted to mention, especially with Chris here and the guys, we want to do a release using the GitHub mechanism that you've set up for us. So I may have some questions.
Okay. Yeah, that should be pretty straightforward. Just ping me on Skype.
Get that done before the end of the month. Sure. Yeah, before we go to Montpellier, it'd be good to have that updated, because we've got changes in the TO, we've got changes in the PO that need to be integrated, and then we can pull in the new Kebby Slim. Are we using the full Kebby? I can't remember now. But anyway.
We're using the full one.
We're using the full one. But it's not the full one in the Protégé. It's on Plantium, but when TO gets created, it pulls in a slice of Kebby for all the Kebby terms that are in there. Mm-hmm. So the ones that we're missing right now, we're putting in as XRefs, so hopefully they will get pulled in. So anyway, so I may have some questions for you, Chris, as we proceed on that. Yeah. Okay, I think we should wrap up there, unless anyone has anything further.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, good. Good.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Chris, for coming. Thanks, Marie. And Marie, we can talk again tomorrow or Thursday, whenever is convenient.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
I'm gonna go ahead and stop sharing. And